More of Lake Effect Now, I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Milwaukee's Greg Kock is not only a guitar player of extraordinary skill and musicality, he is also something of a master wordsmith as well. He recently described his new trio as providing concertgoers with organ-fueled grooves of doom.
Well, doom is not what came to mind in a recent Lake Effect session with the new band, the Kock Marshall Trio, although organ-fueled it certainly was, along with some exemplary shredding on the part of Mr. Kock. Here they are with a Kock original tune called Let's Get Sinister. The Kock Marshall Trio in
yes.
Lake Effects Studio C. Gentlemen, it is so great to hear you. That was Let's Get Sinister.
Indeed.
I'm ready. Are we already sinister?
Indeed we are.
I think so. After that, we certainly are. But let's go around, introduce yourselves, what you play, please.
Greg Kock, electric guitar.
Dylan Kock, son of Greg Kock, drums.
Toby Lee Marshall, Hammond organ.
And that Hammond B3, that's the first time we've had one in here, Toby.
Well, it's my pleasure to be the first.
Oh,
my
gosh. It's so fantastic to hear in here. And, you know, I've got pictures, which will go on the website. But for those of us who haven't seen one before, it's got, what, two keyboards? Three.
Two manuals, yep. Each keyboard's a manual. It's got lots of controls. It's like flying a plane, really.
Pretty much.
That's very close.
It kind of sounds like when you turn it on, we were noticing that it sounded like it was warming up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And a part of that is that big amplifier you got sitting
there. Yep, that's the Leslie speaker. That's the other half of the equation.
I noticed you were kind of playing the bass part, too.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So is that why you don't have a bass player? You don't need one with him?
Well, let's just put it this way. The unique grooving skills of Toby's left hand is complemented by his glorious comping and soloing skills by his right hand. So together, they make a superhero.
I was going to say a full package.
Yes.
It is a full, a superhero full package. A B Hammond B3 superhero.
Exactly.
Yes.
Forget about Marvel.
No. Do you have a cape?
It's implied.
Yeah, I see that.
Yes,
yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Obviously. Yes.
It's assumed.
Indeed.
Yes, it really is assumed. So, Greg, tell me about this group. How long have you been in this iteration?
Well, this is a good story, Bonnie. Are you ready?
Yep, I am.
I'll try to make it succinct. So Dylan has been going up and playing with a young guitar player in River Falls, Wisconsin by the name of Dylan Sulfur. So there's two Dylans. So I get confused when I start talking Dylans. And this Dylan Sulfur just graduated from high school, but whilst in high school, a very resourceful young man. Not only can he play great, and he's a prodigy of as far as every sense of that word is concerned, but he's also a go-getter. And he found out that there was this guy living in River Falls who had kind of retired from the music industry, one Toby Lee Marshall, who spent years on the road with Bernard Allison, and as an 18-year-old was playing with Lonnie Brooks and so on and so forth. Make a long story short, Dylan from River Falls contacted my Dylan and because he saw us playing together and said, would you be interested in doing some gigs? So my Dylan went up and then found out that the other guy in the gig was one Toby Lee Marshall. So my son would come back home and he'd go, you got to hear this keyboard player. He's really, really great. He played with Bernard Allison. You got to hear Toby. I'm like, oh, yeah, sounds great. Yeah. You know, I'm busy doing whatever I'm doing. So finally one day Dylan says to me, hey, Toby's coming down. He's picking up a Leslie speaker that he's purchasing from John Kames. So my Dylan keeps on saying to me, we've got to get together and jam with Toby when he comes down. Well, what every grizzled music professional wants to do on a day off is jam with his son's friends. And so it's getting closer and closer to the day. And finally, Dylan's like, you know, Toby's going to be here tomorrow. I was like, well, you know, we've got that keyboard in the basement. And he's like, Daddy's not going to play that piece of crap. He plays B3. That's all he plays. Maybe we can move the furniture in the front room and move the B3. And I go, that'd be great. We could move the furniture and scuff the floor. And then we could say, hey, Mom, that's where we were jamming with Dylan's friends. So I thought, you know what? I know a guy. My buddy Steve Hamilton has a studio. he's got a B3, I know, all set up, ready to go. So on the day of, I just called up this Steve Hamilton, just going, hey, Steve, I have no idea if you're even available today or what you're doing, but I got this guy coming to town, apparently he's a great B3 player, and he's a friend of Dylan's, and yada, yada, yada. He's like, no problem, show up at around 2 o'clock, I'll have everything mic'd up, ready to go, and you guys can rehearse, and I'll record it, and, you know, we'll see what happens. So Toby arrives, has no idea what's happening, other than that Dylan maybe have told him that we might jam. So Toby comes in, and I go, hey, you know what, nice to meet you. We got a jam coming, and you know, if it works out, I'll throw you some dough, and we'll consider it, we'll start a record. And he's like, what? That sounds great. So we go over to Steve Hamilton's. I bring this amp and a guitar, and we plug it in, and the B3, or the C3, I guess, there, right? Yep. It's all set up, ready to go. Drum set's ready to go. So I call a shuffle tune. I go, let's just do like a shuffle in G. And I counted it off, and we recorded it. And that's actually going to be the first tune on the record, the very first notes we ever played together. It was so instantaneous. I went, oh, my God, here we go.
So the first notes, the first take.
Yes.
I'm impressed.
It was glorious. And the dynamic, I mean, it just, you know, because obviously Dylan had played with Toby, so there was already a thing. And Toby being the bass player and the keyboard player, one, they'd already had a thing. And, of course, Dylan and I have a thing. So it was immediate. So I knew right then and there that a glorious and for me, this particular format, a lot of my chord stuff that I've come up with over the years is very B3 centric, and you know, kind of a gospel.
Show me what you mean.
So if I do something like a, you know, or if I do like a, all that kind of stuff is B3-esque, you know. And if I'm writing tunes, you know, like a play, right? Or, it's influenced by gospel.
Absolutely.
Stuff, you know. Yeah. And so when Toby plays, it's gospely, bluesy, but it's got that rock sensibility as well, which is, it's important. And it's got just enough jazz to get us in trouble. So if I throw some chord changes at him, he can handle the chord changes, but it doesn't sound like, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that. But the organ trio thing has been done. You know, usually the guitar player is playing some, you know, Gibson hollow body instrument and flat
wound
strings.
And doing a lot of, like, 7 and 9 chords. And
yeah, and doing the Kenny Burrell thing, which is mm-hmm. glorious, or yep. Wes Montgomery. It's all great stuff. But this is kind of like a, you know, Booker T on the way to Hendrix meets the Meters and Zeppelin going to the chicken campfire.
Yeah, I was going to say a little dirtier.
Yeah, there's definitely filth.
Yes.
There's definitely
filth. Which is, of
course,
why I always invite you back.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Because there just isn't enough filth in public radio.
Exactly.
You know, we just need to do more.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad to be able to provide that service.
Me too. I'll call on you every single time. So, Toby, when did you start playing? Were you doing this from a little kid? Or?
Yeah, I was. I started lessons when I was 6 years old. My family was musical. My dad always had a band. It seemed like I was going to sleep every night with the band in the basement. And so naturally, when I got a chance to play anything, I'd get my hands all over it. And eventually my folks just kind of said, yeah, you need some musical education. And at age 6, they put me in, and I stayed in that until I was 18 years old. So
you've got some classical chops as well? As
allegedly, yeah.
Allegedly. But, yeah. You got that training, in other words.
Yeah, it's in there. I don't, you know, it's not something I usually think about. But it just kind of happens. You know, when I was about 14, I kind of discovered the Doors. And that sort of changed the game. Yeah.
Well, one of the things I think classical training does, and Greg, tell me if you agree with this, is I think it gives you just that kind of rootedness of it. It gives you the musical theory kind of behind everything that you just draw on. It's not like you're thinking about it all the time.
Right.
You're it's just there as a foundation.
Yep.
Yeah, theory training is definitely, it's good to kind of, you know what the heck's going on. I didn't study classical, but I did go to school for music and study jazz, and you know,
a lot of theory in that too.
Absolutely. Yeah. So
chord structure and combinations, and you know, just modulating, learning to change keys.
Exactly. And, being able to play over chord changes and mm-hmm. be able to, you know, write and read music and be able to score things and so on and so forth. These were These were the original plans that happened when I went to UW-Stevens Point, but I really majored in beer.
Well, you are from Wisconsin.
Indeed, yeah. And they have Point Beer up there, which is not only a refreshment, but a laxative. Yeah. I'm sorry. There I went again.
There he went.
Sullying up the glorious halls of public radio.
Yeah,
with...
I don't know if we'll invite you back. Yeah. So, Dylan, how about you? What is it like playing with your dad?
It's fun, you know. It's... You know, I always kind of was training for it because I've heard these records since I was a little kid, so all these tunes I just kind of know. So we can call any tune, and I'll know it, you know.
Call a tune.
I won't know that one because...
Well, it could be, you know, really anything. I mean, it could be any of my tunes, and he would know it.
Mm-hmm.
And then... But, you know, Zeppelin and Hendrix and The Who is kind of where he gravitated, but also all the blues stuff. So, I mean, I listen to a lot of, to this day, you know, a lot of Albert King and Albert Collins and Little Milton. So he knows all of those grooves, which is not, that's really not something that can be taught. It's just, you know, you have to understand it. And a lot of people, especially drummers, you know, younger, you know, they want to do all the crazy chops and so on and so forth, and they're reticent to just kind of bathe in the grease, but luckily my offspring embraces the grease and the filth.
I would expect nothing else.
Yeah.
Nothing less. Well, what's the next song we're going to hear? This is another Greg original?
It is indeed. Well, why don't we do the Boogaloo now, since we talked about it? And this is kind of a funny thing, because this is one of the first tunes that we played together of mine. We just kind of made up two tunes as we went into the studio, and then I had this Boogaloo tune. Actually, John Seeger wrote lyrics for the song, but we never got to the point where we recorded it in that
environment.
I was going
to say, we need to bring him in, and we'll do the vocal version.
There you go.
Yeah.
We can do that.
Yeah.
And so I had this version, which was just from the original demo that I sent him, which was just an instrumental. And but I always loved a Boogaloo groove. And for those who don't know what a Boogaloo is, it's like a kind of a shotgun thing. But I always like, as you mentioned, The Doors, that song The Changeling by The Doors. I always loved that tune. And I'm powerless over it. Every time it comes on my shuffle on my iPhone, I just got to crank it. And so this was kind of the groove to The Changeling. And then I kind of do this weird head on top of it. And then we did a weird B section. So, and we just kind of jam out.
So this is... Not the obviously the first time you played it, but this is the original tune.
Correct.
When you, all three of you, first sat down in the studio.
Well, this is not the very first first tune.
Okay.
That was just a shuffle tune. We could play that one, too. We could just make it up.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
We could do that.
All right.
We've never played it since.
We haven't.
But it's in G.
It's in G.
Ready?
All right.
That was great. I'm going to call that the K&M Shuffle, Koch Marshall Trio Shuffle.
On the record, we call it Toby Arrives.
Toby Arrives. Well, that's good, too. But here, it's the K&M Shuffle.
There you go. The K&M Shuffle.
The K&M Shuffle in G.
Extemporaneous jam in G.
Yeah. That was great.
Thank you.
That was wonderful. I can see why, if it sounded like that, that you wanted
from
to...
From the get-go.
Yeah. Wow. So, tell me about gigs and stuff like that. Are you guys, you're playing around town? You playing in the area? What's going on?
We are. We usually, I don't play much in town other than, you know, we do Summerfest and Tulsa Fest. We do that Paramount Blues Festival at the end of the summer as well. But we're also doing a thing at Saukville. They have a music series called Live at the Pyramid. Is that what they call it? I believe so. Live at the, it's the seven corners, I think. There's corners involved. But it's
I didn't realize Saukville had seven corners. So
I don't know either. It sounds good, though. I believe it's Live at the Pyramid.
Okay.
I think it is.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yep.
So we're doing that. That's going to be fun, outdoor thing up in Saukville with this lineup of Doom.
Yeah.
I mean, we did Summerfest and the usual suspects, but this has all been pretty recent. I mean, that first session we did was in April, and then I brought Toby back down 2 weeks later. And we recorded the balance of the record. So the record's done. And then I flew the Wildwood guy in to film it. So there's two videos we just put up, and they're going... Can I say they're going viral?
Whoa.
Stand clear. The one's got 169,000 views as of, you know, it's been up for 4 days.
So that's great.
The kids seem to like the organ trio.
Thanks, yeah. Man.
It's going to make us ones of dollars. I could buy you a Fresca next time I see it from the proceeds of the activities.
Don't promise anything you can't keep.
Woo! Ice cold Fresca!
So when's the album coming out? If it's already recorded, are you doing the final mix?
It's all ready to go. I'm going to choose the date of September 9th. But we're going to do pre-sales soon. And we're going to do vinyl, too. I think it's important to do some vinyl.
Well, with a Hammond B3. Yeah.
Right? Yes. So this is obviously, you know, I've done various different iterations over the years, and they've all been fun, and I always try to mix it up and try to do different things. But I think the balance, you know, my material in this format is, it's the right mix of everything.
Oh, it sounds fantastic, and I can tell just watching you guys. I mean, I have the advantage in that I'm actually watching you do this, and I can tell how much fun you guys are having.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that's almost the most important thing.
I think so. You got to live in the moment and let the good times roll.
So you're going to take them out on tour?
Absolutely, yes. So we have some stuff brewing in the fall, and we're going to head down to Texas where the barbecue is good.
And the weather's a little warmer.
It is indeed. And, you know, things are starting to people just, they dig this thing. So that's good.
I wonder what it is. You know, for a long time, I mean, in the 60s and the 70s, the B3 was like king,
yep.
You know, and then it kind of disappeared there for a while. I mean, people were using it, but it wasn't like the golden instrument that it seemed to have been. And maybe it's just coming back. Maybe it's just a sound that people like and they haven't heard for a while.
I think so. I mean, you know, certainly in this kind of a format too, where it's roots driven, but it's you know, this is not your grandfather's organ trio.
Well, gentlemen, it has been such a pleasure. Greg, always great to see you.
Thank you
very much
for having us.
Dylan, good to see you.
Us.
It's been ages.
Yes, it is.
And Toby Lee, nice to meet you.
It's a pleasure to meet
and
you.
And it's been great having you guys play in the studio. What are you going to take us out with?
We're going to do that Boogaloo song.
Okay.
It's called Heed the Boogaloo. I think it's important to heed the Boogaloo.
It is.
Thank you.
The Cock Marshall Trio playing us out with Heed the Boogaloo. The band is Greg Cock on guitar, his son Dylan Cock on drums, and Toby Lee Marshall on the mighty Hammond B3 organ.